Now going to talk about a disease called multiple system atrophy, and it slightly goes, Sarah, into the category of illnesses we wish we hadn't heard about.
Yeah.
Okay, so apologize for that. This is not
absolutely
a good one. It's a neurological condition. It's a bit like Parkinson's disease. It causes problems with a person's movement and things like speech and balance. It can be mistaken for Parkinson's, actually. But unlike Parkinson's, it does tend to lead very remorselessly to the end of a person's life. So in that sense, it's got quite a bit in common with motor neuron disease, which we talked about before. So there are often misdiagnoses. Many people with MSA could be losing valuable years of their life and taking drugs they don't need, and also, crucially, living with a false hope that the disease can be slowed or halted, which it can't be. So can you be certain that it is multiple system atrophy early on, and will we ever find a cure? We'll go to Sarah in a second, but just let's first talk to Douglas McBride, who's in our Edinburgh studio. Hi, Douglas.
Good afternoon, Jeremy.
And I know you were diagnosed with multiple system atrophy in 2012, so you've had it for 5 years now.
That's correct, yes.
Or possibly long, had it officially, but I guess you then look back and you think, well, it could have even been 10 years, do you?
Yes. I had to give up work back in 2005 through probably firstly blood pressure problems, and that did lead on to an initial diagnosis of Parkinson's disease probably in about 2007. And as you rightly say, in 2012 came the diagnosis of MSA.
And does that mean that they effectively rescind the diagnosis of Parkinson's, or does it mean the two things almost go together?
My understanding is that's basically rescinded.
Right.
And the official diagnosis of MSA is then in place.
OK. Now, I know doctors are reluctant often to switch one diagnosis with the other, because MSA is a worse diagnosis for a lot of people. But were you given any straws to clutch at?
Not really. Initially, I took the view that I wanted to find out everything about MSA, what the end result would be. As you said in your introduction, that doesn't make very encouraging reading. It is a life-limiting illness. I'm fortunate that I have an amazing family, supportive family. My charity, the MSA Trust, they are so supportive. The nurses have so much information that they can give and support. They do support groups. They're only an email away when you want information to help me through day-to-day life, as well as my family. I attend a local hospice, Macmillan Daycare, and the nurses and staff and volunteers there are just outstanding. They help me with my feelings to remain positive throughout this illness. MSA, I know the inevitable will happen, MSA will win, but not without me fighting all the way and making the best of what I can do for as long as I can do it, and hopefully impacting as little or as little adverse impact on my family.
Now, you got it in your 50s, so it hit you young. Can
yes.
you just tell us about the symptoms and how it takes over your body?
Oh, unfortunately, there are many, many symptoms. One of the main ones is constant exhaustion. There's a lot of pain. These are my personal symptoms. Not everyone will have the same symptoms at the same time or in the same degree. I've got a lot of balance problems, blood pressure problems. You're open to contracting quite a lot of infections. I get shortness of breath. Difficulty sleeping, can be restless sleeping, nightmares, night sweats. My body doesn't control and regulate its temperature as normally would, so I can overheat, especially as we're coming through winter now, I can feel the cold terribly, which affects all my system. Motoring symptoms, walking is extremely difficult. Just so many things.
Well, Sarah, listening to that, if you had a patient come in with those things, how would you choose between Parkinson's and MSA? And you could even throw in motor neurone disease, couldn't you?
The answer is it's a difficult one. With Parkinson's, we tend to see the first thing people will present with usually is tremor. Now, there are three main sets of symptoms that we're looking for with Parkinson's. So we've got what we call paucity of movement. So you don't swing your arms, your face loses its expression and so on. And then there's rigidity. So if you're trying to get somebody to bend their arm, you'll get them sort of, let's call cogwheel rigidity. So you go clink, clink, clink. But also tremor. And that tremor in Parkinson's tends to happen at rest. If you've got somebody with those symptoms, I would certainly be looking at Parkinson's more, because those symptoms tend to start at an earlier stage in Parkinson's. They tend to be the first symptoms. Whereas what we've just heard described are the so-called autonomic systems. And that's basically where your autonomic nervous system is what affects you, the flow of blood around the body, keeping your blood pressure adequate. It affects your blood pressure rate. It affects your heart rate. It affects erectile dysfunction. It affects your bladder, all those sorts of things.
Right, I see. So, and that's Parkinson's or that's MSA as well?
No, that's more with MSA.
Really?
So you'll often get people who'll come in at a very early stage with MSA who will have symptoms of standing up and falling over because their blood pressure is dropping off very quickly,
right,
or waterwork symptoms and so on. You can also get people who are unbalanced in a very different way than they are in Parkinson's. In MSA, you tend to get two main sets of symptoms. You'll either have what we call the Parkinsonian type, which is much more difficult to differentiate from Parkinson's, and then you can have what's called the cerebellar type. And I don't know if you remember the old song, you know, indicate the way to my habitual abode instead of show me the way to go home. Your cerebellum is all about coordination, and you have real problems with coordinating and staggering around, okay, looking as if you're drunk with that side.
And I'm Douglas, have you've got the first type, have you, the Parkinsonian type?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And how have they treated you, Douglas? Maybe they can't give you anything, I don't know.
No, I take quite a lot of medication, various types. I have patches that are put on weekly to help control the pain. These are quite effective. My medication is reviewed regularly and adapted as necessary as various symptoms progress or new symptoms come on board. So it's mainly through support, encouragement, medication and caring, you know, through family.
Well, I'm glad you got a good, strong network around you, Douglas. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. Douglas McBride, who's 63, from Fife, Scotland. And, Sarah, when you say 63, 30 years ago, that sounds like an old person, but of course 63 now is not old, particularly when you think he's had it for 5 years.
Absolutely.
You're getting it in your 50s.
Yep. We've just had new figures out saying that men can expect to live to 79 and women can expect to live to about 82. So no, it's by no means old. Mm. And this is the most common time to diagnose or to develop symptoms of MSA is in your 50s and 60s. You can get it any time from 30 onwards in exactly the same way that you can develop Parkinson's early. But it's most common in 50s and 60s, which, as you say, these days is young.
Right. Well, let's give it some thought, everyone. 08000 288 291. If you're struggling with MSA, it's in that cluster of the illnesses that are really feared by us all, I guess, because they've got the word progressive and neurological in the title. But maybe Sarah can help. Do call us. Do email.